Sade Rose and KK are also with them, and we're glad that they're with them as well. Missionaries to Togo, sent out by the Calvary Baptist Church in Lansdale through the Association of Baptists for World Evangelism. And we have been supporting the Afolabis for a while now. I can't remember how many years, but we are thrilled to be able to be part of that ministry. We're going to hear from Honore today, this morning, and then we'll hear concerning their ministry more this evening. So, Honore, you come, share God's word with us. We're certainly thrilled to have you in Tawanda today and at the Independent Baptist Church.
Thank you very much. Good morning. It's a blessing to be back. I believe last time I was here about 4 or 5 years ago. And I'm always impressed by your pastor. He always say our name right. I'm impressed. If you know where we're serving, so that's always impressive. So we're glad to be here with you, with my family this time. And before the message, we have a few minute video that I would like to share with you quickly, about 4 minute video, and just to bring together what we're doing, Lord is doing through our partnership. And I want to thank you, honestly, thank you for being part of what God is doing in Togo. Because you give, because you pray, God was able to use that to do wonderful things. Life's been changed, soul been saved to His glory. I advance Him, His kingdom. And it's a blessing, a privilege to be part of that ministry, that what He's doing. He doesn't need us, doesn't it? But He gives us a privilege to be part of the process. It's an honor. So as we look at this video, we give praise to God and thank you for your part you play in our partnership.
Our first term started off with our departure from the States and heading to France for language school, where we spent 14 months for the family, especially my wife and children, to learn French. And that's how we get started. And after French learning school, we came to Togo.
That was a big transition because it went from being in school all day and Honore being kind of like at home to Honore being gone all day and kids and I at home. And the heat, being in the heat and the humidity, was a transition for everybody.
It was a big adjustment for all of us. In our first term, the ministry has grown in a nice way. We have seen the start off of Bible Institute in Lomé, institute level and bachelor level, and a new institute starting in Kara. Those have been some of the highlights. Even though there was an institute in Parliament, the idea of being a classroom with pastors, a room full of pastors who have a strong desire to learn and apply what they have learned into their lives has been encouraging to me. And also when we had a national leadership conference, it was the first time, and to have over 200 people, pastor and their wives, participate in the conference, and in the area of counseling, which is a huge, huge need in the area and in Togo. And that was encouraging to me. That definitely probably are the highlights. And having people, anytime I have opportunity to open the Bible, either one-on-one or with a setting with two or four or even more, it just throws my heart. So I really enjoy that part of the ministry.
It's nice when in the background, seeing Honore work with other men, getting a Bible Institute together and putting the time in it. And then he says, we're going to have our first class. And then there's 16 men that came to the class. And then the next time there's 27 guys at the next class, and seeing that growth. And then being able to say, I get to teach a first class in Kara, and because the men in Kara really, really wanted a Bible Institute. and then this week another gentleman coming in to teach at that institute in Clark and be able to start that institute up there. That's been exciting to see the development of that.
One of the goals that we have right now that we're praying about, we will see it, we'd like to see it happen, is having a counseling center in Lome and eventually in other big cities in Togo. A counseling center, we're thinking about training pastors that will be able to counsel people, volunteer their time throughout the week to come. People here have tried different things, different religions, for voodoo or Islam or animism. All these things, it didn't work for them. And so looking for other ways to cope with the situation. By having a counseling center where the pastors and their wife will come and help people, offering biblical solutions to their needs, through that, evangelize the people as well. That's something that we would love to see, and to engrave gospel-oriented and biblical solution to people's life, and that will be a delight of our ministry.
Thank you. Tonight we'll have opportunity, as the pastor said, to talk more about what God is doing in Togo. This morning, I'd like to encourage all of us with a word that the Lord put in my heart. We live in a changing world. The world is changing. Things are changing. Let's talk about facing a changing world with an unchanging God. Facing the world who's changing with a God who does not change. We all want to progress in our lives. We want to think things happen in a positive way. And yet, we don't like changes, don't we? We want our children to grow and become adults and live on their own and serve the Lord and live for God. But we are not ready to embrace the changes that come in their lives. I remember a few years ago when our kids were still little, our oldest, and we went to service and evening service our Sunday church. And we have always been family people. We stayed together as a family. And I'm just a wonderful, proud dad that my children are with me. And that night, and she said, Papa, they call me Papa because of French, can I go sit with my friends? Okay, now, it was an innocent question. Nice, wonderful, obedient child asking parent to go see with her friends. But within 2 seconds of that moment, I see a flash of her leaving me. Honestly, I was not ready for that. And yet we're raising her to be adult and be on her own. And yet I was not ready to let go. I told her she cannot date until she's 40 or 57, so we'll talk about that later. One thing where we can count on in this world is a change. The Bible says there's everything, there is a season, a time for every matter under heaven. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, generations come and go. The new house of someone's dream will be bought and remodeled by somebody else, eventually torn down and replaced. The teenager of yesterday is now the senior citizen. From the nursery to nursing home. One thing that is constant in our lives is change. We are experiencing changing even though we don't like it. And we respond to changes differently. For instance, if it will snow tomorrow, or even tonight, we all have a different response to it, don't we? Some people will say, yeah, a lot of snow, we don't have to go to school tomorrow. And parents say, no, don't say that, send them to school. And somebody will say, oh, I love snow. And usually those who say, I love snow are the people who don't shovel snow. And somebody will say, oh, great, more snow. Why? Because he got to shovel and pay bills. One snow, everybody has different response to it. Is it a change? Yes. We face changing. The whole universe is changing. Galaxies are dying and new ones beginning. Even the sun is slowly beginning to burn out. Our world is constantly changing. The seasons are changing. Even elections are changing. Some want to change it. We can certainly expect a change sometime in our lives. Even if we're not going through a change right now, it is coming, or we just left one. Something is bound to happen. It is a change. Joshua, a book written by Joshua to describe the transition of Israelite when they were in Egypt, and then they transit to go into the promised land. The book of Joshua described that transition for us as Israel, as a nation, goes through the time of change. It was a great time of change and a great time of transition. The first chapter, we'll focus on the first 1 and 9 this morning, talks about how they dealt with the change. God gave them specific instructions. God gave them ideas of what was going to happen. As we look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 to 9 this morning. You thought I was preaching? That was just a preamble. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 to 9. I'll be reading from ESV. Is that okay? Okay. I hope I'm not offending anybody. If you do, please talk to your pastor. It's not my fault. It's always good when a missionary comes and cause trouble, the pastor has to deal with it. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 and 9. It reads this. I read, you follow. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all these people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. Verse 4. From the wilderness and the Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause these people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have a good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have a good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So, here's the story that God gave us through Joshua. we see that Joshua is talking about a transition. They left Egypt and going to the promised land. So they have to deal with a lot of changes. And let's see what changes in their lives. First, a change of location. From Sinai in the wilderness to the desert and then a promised land. A new territory filled with enemies, filled with flesh. The devil is still present, filled with the complaining. That's a location. How about their vocation? They were wanderers. Now they became warriors. A change in operation. They were traveling. Now they had to settle. They conquered the place. Oh, wait. A change in diet. When they were in the wilderness, did they have to farm? No. God provided for the manna. They eat. They didn't have to work hard for it. In fact, they were eating so much, they said, God, we need a variety of a diet. And God provided meat for them as well. And now, they live that blessing, that style of diet living, to now they have to farm to get food. Is that a change? Yes. A change in the leadership. Moses was the leader. Moses, who is it? He is the stable leader. He is a predictable leader. He's a wise one. He's the one that they know, they grew up with, and they trusted him. And now he's dead, and they have to live with Joshua to lead them. Wait a minute. Is that going to be easy? Oh, no. Well, you, Joshua, you were here an assistant to Moses. You didn't count. You only always follow orders. We saw you, how you did things. You made mistakes, and Moses had to correct them. So we don't know if we should trust you, and now you're going to lead us. Is it easy for them? No. It was a change. Because they trust Moses, and Moses is gone. Now they're facing changes. It's like us sometimes, when we go through changes, we say, oh, wait, this is like, oh, we want the old church back. Oh, we want the old songs that we used to sing before. Oh, we want the leaders, that pastor, or that church, or that class, or this. We do those things as well. The Israelites are facing these things. Let's go and look into New Testament. What happened to Israel life and the Jews? They faced a change as well. They were living under the law, and now Christ came, they live under grace. Is that easy? No, it's not. The Jews, they have the temple, the sanctuary. Now Christ came, they say, you have to share the temple with the Gentile. Folks, is it easy? No. I mean, we are Jews, we do our things, we are fine and family happy. We fight among each other once in a while. We're okay. But now the Gentile that we don't even want to do with them, God is saying they have to live with us, worship together. Folks, it's not easy. Sometimes when we read New Testament, we forget some of these details and we try to blame the people, forgetting that it's not that simple. It's not just that. Now, the separation and integration, the sacrifice and the finished redemptive work of Christ. Before, to go to the temple, you have to do sacrifice. And all your life, you know rituals. You come to the temple. Before you go inside, you do all the things that you do. And now Christ came and they say, you don't have to do those things. You just trust him and you're fine. Whoa. That's not easy. It's a change. So Israel was facing changes from the beginning to this time. Everything is changing. Leadership, vocation, law, everything is changing. The something didn't change in their lives. God never changed. God never changed. The same God. He's immutable. His immutability set him apart from everything, because everything changed, but he doesn't change. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variation of shadow due to change. He doesn't change. So let's look at the story we just read right now in Joshua 1:9. What's happening in this passage? First of all, we know that the purpose of God never changed. God's purpose never changed in this story. In verse 2, He intended to lead them to the promised land all along. It was His promise to Abraham. We look at Abraham, Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. God made a promise to Abraham to give him the promised land. His descendant, we look at to just that chapter, we see clearly that God made a promise. And He made the promise, and that was His goal, that was His purpose, to take them to the promised land. Regardless of the change that they faced, they dealt with, regardless of who's leading them, that purpose of God to take them to the promised land never changed. Now, we do know, according to the history of the fulfilling of that promise, it didn't take place until later on, but that purpose has never changed. That's verse 2. Verse 3, he said, as I said. Now, when you read something or somebody talking to you and they say, as I said, that means I said that thing before and I'm just reiterating at this time, or I just reminded you. So in verse 3, he's reminding them what he's already said. So God's purpose doesn't change. God's promise doesn't change either. Verse 3. Basically, verse 3 means all the lands already belong to Joshua. When he said, well, where your food, the sole of your foot will trespass, I will give it to you. That means the whole land, it already been given. All Joshua had to do is walk by faith and claim it. So God's promise has not changed. Literally and completely, fulfillment of this promise took place with David and Solomon, and eventually when the king Uzziah took over. So God's purpose doesn't change. God's promise doesn't change. What else doesn't change? Verse 5, God's power doesn't change. His power doesn't change. Circumstances don't decide or don't determine God's power. It's the same yesterday and forever. He said, shall not, anything shall not stand before you. In other words, nothing can come to you, against you, that I, as a God, I cannot take care of. His power to Joshua never changed. His responsibility to take care of his nation, his children, he never changed. Excuse me. So God's power doesn't change. It's the same. So his purpose, his promise, his power don't change. What else doesn't change? Verse 6, 8. His principle of living. He said, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. He said, read constantly, obey carefully. Now, when we look at some word here, they said be strong and courageous. The idea conveyed here is being all the time courageous and resolute to be firm. In fact, that's how some translations get it. Stand firm. Because the promises, what he says, his word, the principle of living, those don't change and the same. And then he started to explain to them what will happen when we put those principles in life. He said, observe to do. This is a verb that have the idea of being carefully and diligently make sure you keep the responsibility of the Torah, of the law. Observe to do. Make sure you do your best to make an application of what I'm telling you to do. In other words, you don't have any other choice other than putting my word in action. Observe to do. And he goes on, he said, meditate on it day and night. And that's a way of talking when you say, I want you to do this all the time. It's called merism. Another word, it says, what I'm telling you, you do in the morning, the same thing is going to be throughout the day until evening. We see the same concept in the New Testament. When the Bible called Jesus, he said, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Does that mean what is in between? He's not. No, he is. It's just saying he's the beginning through all the middle and all the way to the end. He's still the same. The same principle here. Meditate on his word in his Torah day and night. So sometimes we say, well, do your devotions in the morning. Yeah, that's good. Or during the evening. That's good. That doesn't mean you do it during the morning and the evening. It's over during the day. You do whatever you want. I mean, you can do your devotion and meditate on God's word throughout the day. In other words, when you read the word of God, you allow the word of God to mentally, spiritually, emotionally affect your life through all the day. Everything you do all day long is motivated, affected by what you read in God's word. That's what it meant here by meditate on it day and night. You know what I'm saying? Do it when it pleases you. Do it when it's easy. Do it when you don't have anything else to do. You are called, obligated, challenged to put this word, the word that God has given to you, Joshua, to be your guide. Everything you do from the morning, throughout the day, at night, is being guided, motivated by this word I'm giving you. So he continues to say, if you put in practice, if you put my word in practice, there will be some result. You will be prosperous. Now, this is another verb in this text. It has a different variety of meanings here. It gives the idea of a prosperity. Now, when they say prosperity, we all think about Almighty Dollar, right? Right? Well, that's not what he's talking about here. Of course, we all can use some dollars in our pocket. You know what I mean? As a missionary. But in this text, that's not what he's referring to. The prosperity he's talking about here, it has the idea of having insight of God's word. In other words, when you take my word and put in practice all day long, you have a special relationship with me that when I say things, everybody else doesn't understand, but you know exactly what I'm saying. Why? Because you have a habit of putting my word in practice. So you know exactly what I'm saying. You have insight of my word. You have a special wisdom. You have a special understanding of what I'm saying. That, to me, that's the prosperity he's talking about here. That because when you put God's word in practice and that changes your life, you reflect who God is. That, it's a blessing. There's nothing else you can replace with that. And that's what he's saying here. This leads to say that prosperity means to gain insight of the word of God. And when we look at the text, it said the law, the Torah. But when we bring it back after the Bible is written, we can say it's talking about having insight and wisdom of the word of God, the Bible. So God's purpose doesn't change. God's power and promise and principle of living don't change. What else doesn't change? God's presence doesn't change. Verse 9, I will be with thee. God says, I will be with you. Joshua, if you put my word in practice, if you trust me, if you use my word carefully, you pound on it day and night, you put in your life, you apply it to every situation, I can guarantee you something, I always, always be with you. That has been the promise that God gave to Moses. He gave the same promise to who? Joshua in this passage. Guess what? It's the same promise he gave you and I, the church. When we look at Matthew 28, it says this, Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. What's next? And behold, I am with you always. So God's presence is a guarantee. It's a promise that God says, I will be with you. Folks, maybe you didn't hear what I just said. Let me say it again. God is saying to you, I will be with you. Not just one moment, not just for 5 seconds, for how long? How long is forever? God, who created the whole universe, who created you, who knows the problem you're going through, who knows the situation you're going through, who knows the condition you're living in, and he is saying, I am with you. Is it something's going to come up to you and God will say, oops, I didn't see this coming? I would say, is it something going to happen to you or going through now? And God will say, you know what? That problem, really, it was a little too hard for me to take care of right now. So let me put on hold for now. Is it going to say that? No. Say, my presence, I am with you. In other words, there's nothing can touch you. There's nothing can happen to you that God doesn't know, God doesn't see, and God doesn't permit. He said, I am with you. Folks, if nothing else encourages us to continue living and do our best for the Lord Jesus Christ, this has to be. Knowing that God is with us. It is a promise. Is he going to keep his word? You bet. Is this something, are you going to open the closet like a boogeyman coming and God just say, oh man, that was too big, I can't do it. Nope. That should be comforting, encouraging, and uplifting for us to do our best to continue walking the walk, the path of Jesus Christ. Because God, the Almighty, he is with us. Folks, I don't know about you, but that, to me, that just seals it. I don't care. Whatever is going, I know that God is with me. It's like a small boy fighting his friend at school, and he said, my dad is coming for you. And the boy, knowing that the boy he's fighting is going to beat him up, but he sees his dad. What is he going to do? Oh, my dad is here. You come, my dad is here. Why? Because he knows my dad is bigger than you. Folks, that's the God we have. There's nothing that Satan is going to throw in our path, and God will say, whoa, Satan, where did you get that from? He knows about it. He saw it coming. In fact, I'll say it again, he allows it to happen because a part of his plan to show you that he loves you, he cares for you, and he's with you. There's nothing he will allow to happen to you that will be beyond what you can take. So, folks, he doesn't change. It is the same God who promised Joshua, I'll be with him. It is the same God who promised to Moses. It is the same God who promised you and I that he will be with us. Knowing this, that God doesn't change, should be a tremendous encouragement to us. In other words, when God says, I love you, is it going to be one day he's going to say, oh, you know what? The things that you did yesterday, you know, I'll take part of my love away from you. Is it going to do that? No. When God says, I forgive your sins, Is it going to be one day we'll say, you know what, that sin you just committed last night, that was way, way off the chart. I'm going to take back a little bit of my forgiveness. Is it going to do that? No. Why? Because he doesn't change. He doesn't change based on the circumstances, based on your life, or based on what you did or you didn't do. He is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. That should be an encouragement for us. So when he says, I love you, I forgive you, I made you my image, we should take that to heart. That it is true. There's nothing that's going to change that. At the same token, for someone who doesn't know Christ, it's a frightening. Because he says the soul that sins are the souls that die. One day God's not going to say, you know what, I changed my mind on that. So if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, guess what? That's what is waiting for you. He's not going to change that. He's not going to one day and I say the temperature of the hell, I'm going to turn it down a little bit. No, the same temperature was from the beginning. It's going to be the same temperature from the end. That's why you need to do everything you can by God's grace and her power to avoid going there. But that's not going to change. That's because God's word, it's forever settled. It's Psalm 19:89. Forever your word is settled in heaven. In other words, the way the word accomplishes goal in heaven is the same way it accomplishes God's goals on earth. Forever settled. It doesn't change. Since God doesn't change, and certainly his word doesn't change, his promises don't change either. Why are you afraid of making changes in your life to please him? Why are you afraid of making changes to reflect his word? And to be a godly Christian, it doesn't come by accident. It doesn't come because we wish for it. It comes because we make changes in our life that reflects God's word. So why are we afraid of making changes? If God's word calls for it, if God says, this is what I want you to do, this is what I want your life to look like, you and I, we have a responsibility to prayerfully consider what can we do in our lives to change our lives to reflect who God is. Why? We have a program coming next couple of weeks about people coming here. We want to be the light. We want to be the salt. It doesn't happen because we just want it. It happens when we intentionally, purposefully make changes in our life to reflect that reality, that truth, that we are effectively the light of the world. Right? If like that, folks, life will be easier. Right? It will be easier, but it doesn't work that way. And God says, you need to love your wife. And you say, preacher, if you only know my wife. It doesn't happen by accident, right? You need to make changes in your life to reflect the fact that you intentionally, really love your wife. Just telling her, it's good. But you need to prove it. And God says, wife, submit to your husband. And you said, wait a minute. My husband, if you know him, you wouldn't say to submit to him. Yes, God knows him before he gave it to you to be married to him. There's nothing you can know about your husband that he doesn't know before he gave it to you. Right? And he's the one who said that. And children say, the Bible says, submit to your parents, obey them. Whoa, whoa, whoa. My parents don't even know how to use a cell phone. And you want me to obey them? Yeah. They may not be high-tech people, but God knows that before he brought you in this world through them. Do you have a choice? No. Can you change your parents? No. You wish they're different? Yeah, we all do. But God is the one calling you, so you have to make changes in your life to reflect that truth, that biblical principles. So you cannot be a godly Christian. You cannot be who God calls you to be or reflect who God wants you to be in His Word without making changes in your life. Can you? No, you can't. If God says it, you and I, we don't have a choice. We have the responsibility to engage prayerfully, engage, asking wisdom by God's grace to make changes to reflect His Word. It's never easy to change. That's why we need grace. That's why we need God's Word. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we forget the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I'm not talking about charismatic Holy Spirit way, but Holy Spirit plays a major role in our salvation, in our Christian walk as well. So we need to pray, look at God's Word, by His grace, Holy Spirit help us to make changes to reflect who God wants us to be. Because everything changes, but God's purpose, God's promise, God's power, God's principle of living, and God's presence don't change. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for who You are. It's a sobering truth, knowing that You are forever the same and You don't change. It's an encouragement to us, but also challenges us to engage in a changing process to reflect who You are, Your Word. Humanly speaking, yeah, we like it the way it is. We don't want to change it. That's why we need Your grace. That's why we need Your Word. And certainly the Holy Spirit to help us engage in the process of making changes that reflect who You are or Your Word. We want to be like You. It's our goal. We want to walk and talk like You. That's our purpose. But we cannot get there without intentionally, prayerfully, wisely making changes to reflect that truth. So we pray that You help us. In Your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Honore. What a wonderful reminder and challenge for us this morning. God is unchanging and unchangeable. He's not going to change Himself, and nobody else is going to change Him. But because He's unchanging, we need to change. There's none of us here that are perfect. We need to be growing. Growing implies change. Maybe you're here this morning and you need to change from being an unbeliever to a believer. You've never trusted Christ as your Savior. Maybe you're here this morning and you're a believer, but you're really not much of a committed believer. You just kind of go throughout your day and don't give God much thought. As He reminded us this morning, we need to meditate on His Word day and night. What changes are necessary in your life? And you can make those changes with the confidence that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. With whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. What wonderful truths, reminders for us today. Would you just take a moment, bow your head, ask God to direct you to those areas in your life that need to be changed. Father, we thank You for our time together this morning. Thank You for Your Word as it has been proclaimed to us. Thank you that you are indeed immutable, unchanging and unchangeable. May that be an encouragement to us, Father, to know that we can change with the confidence that your promise will not change, your presence will not change, your principles of life will not change, your power will not change. We can trust you with our lives and with the changes that are necessary in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. We invite you to seek us out, look us up, give us a phone call, see us before you leave this morning if you'd like to talk to us. We'd love to take you to God's Word and show you more fully how you can be a child of God walking with Him daily. Shall we stand? Father, again, we thank you for our service together this morning. For the privilege of meeting with you in this way as a church body. Do thank you for your love and that nothing can separate us from it. It will not change. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning. May God bless you.